Happy New Year. Glad Stewie's feeling better.
I'm horrible.
Why are you horrible? Young Tim, you see his Bible here? See his Bible? Right. He asked me, came to me early, said, have you seen a camouflage holy Bible that has a cross on it? I said, Tim, I couldn't see that. It's camouflage. But you found it, eh? Okay. Front seat of the car. I bet it's right where you left it.
No.
All right. Well, in honor of my daddy, I have an electrical story to tell you today. But it's about, you sit down so the others can see. It's about what the devil tries to do to us. Okay? All right. Now, God wants us, and we talked about this probably about a month and a half ago. God wants us to plug into whose power?
His power.
His power. And when we plug into His power, what happens? Huh?
He comes down.
That's right. He comes into us, and Jesus is the light of the world, and He's burning brightly through our lives. But what does the devil try to do to us? He comes along and he says, look, I want you to plug into this. Now look at that. Look at that receptacle there. It's got a blue back on it, and it's newer than this one. And he says, you can come plug into my power.
No.
Wait a second. What's happening?
No power.
Okay. No. It's not connected. Ooh.
It's not connected.
Well, okay, I tell you
power.
What. Right, I tell you what. Tell you
only
what.
God's
so
power can
so he
you.
He comes along and he says, okay, I'll give you this nice shiny box to put your receptacle in.
Yeah, but
it won't
still not work. Working because it doesn't have any water.
Wait a second, now he's got a shiny box.
But it doesn't have any
water. Look, a shiny box. But the shiny box.
We get this and then
that doesn't matter. Okay, all right. Well, then he said, man, maybe your box wasn't big enough. I'll give you a bigger one here. Look at that. What happened?
I know what's the problem.
It's way too big.
You're supposed to put this right here and this like this on the floor.
But then what happens?
The power.
My light's still not working. What about? Because, you know, when the devil speaks, the Bible says he speaks his native language. And you know, it's the lie. That's what it says in John. When he speaks his native language, he's speaking a lie to us. But when God speaks to us, that's right. That's right, Elisha. And we can listen to him, and because when we plug into him, look at there. All right. The scripture says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. That's where he wants us to let our light shine to the whole world. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these beautiful children that we love so much. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
We pray that you will bless them in their understanding. And Lord, let us be good stewards of the privilege and responsibility that we have to train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now today you're going to go back and sit with your parents today, okay? So y'all go back to your seats. And now, Mr. Rick. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, it's about this time every year that we are tempted, prodded, goaded, and pushed into moving on into the next year, into zipping right past Christmas, into moving the story, leaving it there, and saying, okay, all that's done now. It's time for us to focus on the next thing. That's our culture. Culture says, move by our plan and our timetable and our schedule, and if you do, then everything goes just fine. But what I'm here to tell you this morning is sort of the opposite. I want you this morning to resist the temptation to move on from Christmas. I don't want you to move on to the next thing. I don't want you to think about the new year for just a few minutes. I don't want you to have the been there, done that thing bite you today. Instead, what I want you to do is realize that you cannot look for a calendar to give you a clean slate. It won't work. It's a gimmick. The accounting of time nor its passing has ever had the power to change anybody's life. You ever realize that? So for a few minutes, as I encourage you to urge the resist to move on, I want to look at the actual original days after the birth of Christ and see what they demonstrate for us in a story that we have. Okay, what did they actually do a few days after Jesus was born? Now, you may not even think about the reality, but the reality is that if you look at the narrative that we all look at during the season of the Nativity, we throw that story of the Magi in there kind of like, well, it was all there just one night too. That's not true. Chances are it was a couple of years after. But we don't let the details get in the way, right? We're telescoping everything so that it all fits in one nice, neat little package. So we're just going to realize that that story about those Magi actually probably did happen sometime after the days that we're going to be talking about today. We're talking about the week after, okay? So let's understand. We're talking about the original days after the birth of Jesus. Now, you can see my little PowerPoint here. We got this little calendar on the left because those are all the things that we do whenever we move on, okay? All the stuff we got to take care of at the end of the year. Things we want to do, need to do, usually find ourselves doing in those last couple of weeks. But what we're going to look at is Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. We're going to find out what Joseph and Mary did after the birth of Christ in the cold cave, perhaps, on the outskirts of Bethlehem. It says they took him to the temple. And in Luke 2:25, it says, now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Now, what I want you to understand is this guy lived around the temple. Let's just understand that. He was there for a purpose. But on this particular day, in this particular week, in the days after the actual birth of Jesus, God moved this man to go hang out there because something was going to happen. God had made him a promise. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And when the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, that's circumcision. Simeon took the child in his arms and praise God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, and a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. Now you've got to understand, Simeon did not do this for every child that came through the door. This was what we call a divine appointment. And the child's father and mother, Joseph and Mary, marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Simeon spoke a whole lot better than he understood. So if we look at this, these few verses, at this point, the several days after the birth of Jesus, what do we see here? Clearly, simply, what's there? First, Simeon spent time with God. He was in the Word, he prayed, and he worshiped. We can see that in the things that he was doing. He knew the prophecies. The man studied Scripture. Because if he had not, he would not have been where he was. We know that he had a relationship with God, so we know he spent time not only understanding that Scripture, but meditating on that Scripture and listening. And he was listening for God's voice. How do I know that? The Holy Spirit spoke to the man, and the Holy Spirit doesn't just go trouncing around talking to everybody. If he did, then you would be here telling me what he said to you this morning. The man did what it took for God to be able to communicate to him. And that's important that we understand. He did the stuff. It wasn't religion. It wasn't mechanical. It wasn't punching a time clock for the man. He had a purpose. He wanted to know the living God. He spent time with the living God. And the living God, we'll move on to the next thing we see here, revealed his plan to Simeon, and he made him a promise. Because he was in the right place at the right time doing the right things. So God was able to impress upon him not just his plan, but a promise so that Simeon would see, yes, God is going to do this and he's going to let me see it. Three. And this is simple. Joseph and Mary marveled at what the man said. You know, if it wasn't enough to have a couple of angels show up in dreams and stuff, and then for a bunch of shepherds come and say, we saw a bunch of angels singing in the middle of nowhere. And then to have this guy come up and say, your child, I mean, have y'all ever had that kind of, it all comes together for a moment, second kind of thing, and it's like, wow, that and that and that and that, and all of a sudden, boom, it's all at one point in time, and it all works. Or it all comes together. And you just go, wow. You know, kind of they do in those movies that are tricky and all of a sudden everything just kind of, whoa. It all happens and it makes sense. Wow, it's cool. Mary and Joseph marveled because it was all coming together. Now it wasn't just angels talking to them. Now God was saying stuff to people they didn't know. And those people knew what God was doing. I think that would make me feel a whole lot better. Because, you know, they've been floating around out there on their own having to deal with the scorn and ridicule of a lot of people for quite a while. Mary was pregnant and people didn't get it. It was just not easy. And all of a sudden, finally, somebody else knows and told them, yep, God's doing exactly what he told you he's doing. And he's letting me know it too. So, good news. Mary and Joseph marveled at that. And the next thing. Simeon prophesied that Jesus would reveal the content of people's hearts. that stuff that people couldn't see, when it came to Jesus, that the stuff that was there wouldn't be hidden anymore. It would be uncovered. It would be clear. It would be drawn out. It would be pulled out. I don't know, but it... Anyway, he was saying that's what this child's going to do. And the last thing, he also prophesied that Joseph and Mary, this was a time of joy, and he was acknowledging that, but he was also telling them there was going to be sorrow that was going to come along with the joy. So that's what, at least that's what I see there. But what does all this say to you and me? What's the application side of this? What impact is this supposed to have on us? Well, let's look. Let's just work through the list. Number one, we need to soak in time with God. Word, prayer, and worship. We're here today. The whole idea of us being here today is that we present ourselves to God. That we acknowledge who He is, what He is, and that He has the absolute right to do with us whatever fits His purpose and plans. That's worship. Anything else is not worship. Not presenting ourselves to Him for any purposes that He has is not worship. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people going to a lot of places today saying that they're going to worship, and what they're doing is they're going to be entertained. And when it doesn't match their hunger for entertainment, they start to talk. Okay? That's not worship. Soak in time with God, personally and corporately, both. So that whenever the next thing happens, we can expect God to reveal Himself in His plans, and we will get it. Again, God didn't go around, and He still doesn't go around, just revealing everything to everybody just because they want it. What He does is, He knows, again, we're going to go back to that in just a second, He knows people's hearts. And He knows what and when He can reveal and show and uncover to each of us, because He knows what kind of relationship we have desired to have with Him. And there are some people that are ripe and ready for Him to say, here's what I'm doing next. And guess what? I'm going to let you be in the front row seat. And then there's those of us that are going to be a part of what He's doing, but we're not going to see it till it happens. Then He gives us the understanding of saying, yeah, this is God doing it, and that's great too. But there's a lot of us that just miss it altogether because we are not cultivating a relationship that's personal with God. Because we're not worshiping with Him. We're not spending time with Him, showing Him that we are presenting ourselves to Him. Again, when you worship, there's always an offering. There's always a sacrifice. Always. It's worship. So this idea that I'm supposed to come to this place and get isn't worship. But when we have that attitude and we understand that we're giving ourselves and we're giving ourselves and we're building the relationship, then we can expect God to show us what He's doing. We will see what He's doing, and He will have personal places that He's going to allow us to be a part of what's going on. That is a remarkable, miraculous thing. Third thing. You and me, just like I'm telling you, we need to hold up and not try to get on to the next thing. We need to understand that we have to spend a little time sometime marveling at what God has said and done. Marveling at what He's done in our lives to this point. Marveling at what He has said. Marveling at how it all works together. And being like kids. Just having the eyes like kids and saying, you know, that's really cool. It's amazing that He did this. It's amazing that He took my pain and made it into joy. It's amazing that He took my confusion and gave me peace. It's amazing that I understand things, or that I just don't have to worry about understanding things because I trust God. Taking time to marvel at what God has said and done. If we don't do anything else when we get together, that ought to be a good thing to do. Because we're seeing God for who He is. Instead of thinking we got Him all boxed up and He fits in our little packages, in our little categories, and does things the way we want Him to do. He's a lot bigger than that. Number four, truth is the same thing that Simeon said to Mary and Joseph there as they were entering the temple and as He touched the child. Jesus is still revealing what's in human hearts. You just put Jesus out there, and guess what? People are going to respond from with what is in their hearts. Some people have nothing but disdain. Some people are entirely nonplussed. Some people feel like they've passed on. I was just reading a story about a guy who had been the son of a very well-known evangelist pastor, and he had decided he was just going to move on. He was no longer going to be a believer because he wasn't inviting the power of God. He didn't believe the truth of God anymore, and he didn't see it active in his life. And so he just decided he was just going to move on. When you insert Jesus, what happens is whatever is going on in a human heart, it comes out. You understand what that means? So whenever you're in a conversation, if you hear somebody say something about Jesus, you look around. Or if you say something about Jesus, or you say something about faith in God through Jesus, you insert Jesus into it, and everything becomes political all of a sudden. And it's political because what's in their hearts isn't Jesus. Because it's something that they have to choke on. Now, those folks are not enemies. And we ought not treat them that way. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what we're supposed to do. But we do need to see things as they are and understand that when you insert Jesus, what's inside hearts comes out. So if someone's receptive to Jesus, you will see that it will come out. And if someone is not, you'll see that it comes out. And if they're antagonistic to faith, it's coming out. Does this make sense? You see it all over our culture, right? It's not just in our culture. You insert Jesus and all of a sudden people are taking sides. That's what Simeon was talking about, and it's still true. Lastly, you and I must learn to accept both joy and sorrow because it is a part of the story. There are people in our Christian culture who would have you believe that once you receive Christ, once you have said, okay, God, I'm going to give my life to You, I'm going to serve You, I'm going to believe You, I'm going to trust You, then all of a sudden everything is, every trouble, trial, or bad thing is never going to touch you again. And that is the biggest lump of junk you're going to ever hear. Because that's not true. What it means is, Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you, no matter what you go through. And we've got to realize that although this life is good, it's wonderful, it's great, and God has given it to us as a gift, there's more. And if we keep treating this life like it is all there is, we will not see joy and sorrow in the proper perspective. We have got to keep joy and sorrow in the proper perspective. We are not bereft and left alone. We have the presence of the God that infuses every part of who we are because we have done all this stuff. And it's been our life. And Christ is our life. And we offer ourselves to Him. And when we do that, we understand that we don't move on from this. We don't move on from the story. We don't move on from the reality. We live there constantly. So Christmas carols are appropriate every time you want to sing them. I used to sing when I was at third base and I was 12 years old. It calmed me down. For some reason, "Oh Come All Ye Faithful" worked great. And then I'd get a line drive, hit right in my head. This is life. This is who we are. Let's not get in a rush to move on, because plenty of other stuff is going to come and try to distract us, and does quite often. You hear the message today? It's short. It's short. Let's pray. Gary, come on up. Lord God, I thank you for the fact that we treasure the story of Jesus' birth. And Lord, I'm thankful that people were faithful to write down and record what took place so that we would be encouraged and learn from their example. Lord, your word speaks very clearly to us and gives us example. And Lord, today I just want us to learn the lessons from the example you gave us here in Luke 2. Now these days, so soon after the actual birth of Jesus, that we need to live now. And we need to offer ourselves to you now. And that, Lord, we need to be listening to you now. We need to be dumbfounded by all the things you do in our lives and giving you credit for it now. And that, Father, the truth is it's going to be rough. That there's going to be sorrow and joy, but you're with us. Thank you that you take all things because we belong to you. Just like you said in Romans 8:28, that all things would be used in our lives to give you glory because we belong to you and are called according to your purpose. Lord, let us live that. As we close today, if you need to be praying with somebody, I pray that you would feel comfortable enough to come do that. Dusty will be up front. Dane will be up front. I'll be up front. You can pray with us. You can write requests on the card that you perhaps got as you came in the door. And that whatever God's doing between you and Him right now, I'm asking that you would listen and that you would respond to Him, even if it had nothing to do with what I said today. God has got free reign, and He could talk to you about anything He wants to, and I encourage you to respond to Him, and that you would have the freedom to do that today. As Gary plays, you can come forward if you need to. You can come and kneel up front. We'll use it as an altar, or you can come and we'll pray with you. But for a few moments, it's going to be quiet, and you can do that. And then after those few moments, I'll let you know it's time to bring prayer requests and offering if you'd like. It's a new year out those doors, but it's the same Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Lord, let us live the life that you've given to us as we walk through the doors, so that we will be the hands and the feet, the salt and the light that you have created us, that you have saved us, that you have changed us to be. In Jesus' name we go. Amen.